Well, there's something about children that brings us joy, isn't there? And we talked a little bit about this last week. Their gleaming faces give us hope, expressions they get on their face. I know today, based upon this passage, Jesus felt the same way. Jesus had a sense of joy that he received with the children. Jesus loved the little children, right? So went our song. Jesus loves the little children. He was very warm. He had a kind disposition towards them. And please understand that this was not a popular way for a man to be in relationship to children all that many years ago. Generally, men were very stern with children. And it comes out in the disciples and other passages where the disciples are like, what are you doing? Like, come on, kids, go away. Shoo. This is Jesus. He's doing important stuff. No, let the kids come to me, right? And so in this scripture passage, which there's similar passages in the other gospels, Jesus uses a child as an example, but he offers also us adults a stern warning about caring for children and the importance of it. And so what does Jesus do? He takes a child, he places his child amongst the disciples in the middle of them to kind of teach them something, and he says to his disciples, he says, whoever wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven must be like Junior here, must be like this child. And of course, Jesus leaves us to kind of wonder, what do you mean? Right? Like he did this often. He would oftentimes use a metaphor. Be like this child if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but then not actually break down what that is. And so we might assume that he meant be innocent like this child. He might have meant be trusting like this child. He might have meant search for truth as a child is always searching for truth, or be playful. We don't exactly know. We can make some assumptions. But Jesus reminds his disciples that whoever welcomes a child in his name welcomes him. You welcome this child. And Jesus did this often too. He talked about the poor this way. You welcome the poor, you're welcoming me. You welcome children, you welcome me. And so this is good to remember, church, that when we welcome children, it's like we're welcoming Jesus. Then Jesus, he offers like a warning to his disciples. Now here comes the warning, right? If anyone causes one of these little children to stumble, then it would be better for them to tie a large millstone around their neck and jump into the sea and plunge deep and not come back up. Which is kind of a harsh metaphor, but you get the picture. You get the seriousness of this. You see, friends, children are growing up, and they are in this developmental process. They're moving from being kids to being adults. Don't cause them to stumble. Help them in that process. And that's what great parenting is, right? Great parenting is you're helping your children move towards adulthood. Right? And so as the church, what do we want to do? Well, we want to help them love. We want to help children love and serve God. We want to help develop their gifts. We hope to develop their love of the church. We want to teach them to work with others and the importance of working with others. We really want to help them grow up and be decent human beings. Because don't we need more decent human beings? Right? That's what we need. And so today I want to talk with you about this goal that our church has, right? It's what we talked about earlier, this goal. Really, why did we hire somebody? Why did we create a children's ministry team in order to help with this process and to help that ministry? We did it because we want to reach young families. We want to have more opportunities like this, right? Like, Darius didn't just walk in here today off the street and, hey, I want to play for your church. No, he's been here a long time. He's grown up here. This is his church, and so this is his gift for the church. We're going to talk today about really what we want to do. This is kind of challenging. We want to get younger as a church. We want to get younger if we want younger families to come in. We want to see some of that that change here, have younger families and children. Now, my wife and I, we did the math the other day, you know, as we've gotten closer and closer to this date of them moving in, being family again, really, it's kind of weird. Like, it's almost like another, I transitioned to come here last year and to begin. It's almost like feeling like transitioning again now that my family's here, my wife and daughter will be more a part of things. But my wife and I, we did the math the other day. This is our 7th United Methodist Church that we have lovingly served since we got married. 7 churches. 25 years of ministry for me. 25 years of ministry, yeah, for me. And I believe after 25 years of ministry, 7 different United Methodist churches, I feel like I have a pretty good sense of what it takes for a church to get younger, so to speak, right? To begin to attract those young families. But I can tell you, it's not an easy road. It's not an easy road. And if it were an easy road, then we wouldn't be in the state of Missouri closing more and more United Methodist churches every year, which we continue to do at a faster and faster rate. Now, the good news is this. We're not a doomsday church. I mean, look around. This is not a doomsday church. This is a wonderful church. We have a great sense of community here. We have many people in the last year who have joined our church. We have many more people that want to join the church. If you're interested, once again, we have coffee and conversation with the pastors after worship today, just for an hour to kind of get to know those that are interested in joining. Our members financially support our church and provide a great deal of wisdom as to how to utilize those resources, how to be good stewards in ways that honor God, that help the church, that help the local community, that help the world. And so in many ways, we are a healthy, strong, Jesus-focused church. But we aren't younger. Right? We're not younger. And younger isn't everything. I mean, it's not. Like I said, this is my 7th United Methodist Church to serve. Younger is not everything. Faithfully following Jesus, that's everything. Right? Faithfully following Jesus. And so this morning, I'm going to talk to you about what it might take for us to get younger as a church, as this is a priority for the board. It's a priority for me. I think it's good. It's not everything, but it's good. It's probably very good. This list isn't about what I think kids ministry needs to do. Once again, we've got a board, we've got a team, we've got somebody we've hired. This isn't for Molly. Like, this is not, you know, Molly, you're probably watching, and this is what you need to be doing as our new kind of leader. It's not that. It's about what you and I need to do. It's about what you might need to be a part of or encourage or at the very least tolerate. What perhaps you can tolerate. Right? That's kind of your 3 levels, isn't it? Do it. If you can't do it, encourage somebody else who's doing it. And if you just can't encourage, then just kind of tolerate that it's happening. Try to be pleasant, right? What I can tell you is that families will be able to tell if you can't tolerate who they are and how they might be different. You know that. You can tell when somebody can't tolerate you, right? You sense it. And based on my experience, that's generally when they leave and they go somewhere else, is when they can tell the people that are part of that church can't really tolerate them. And so this is a challenge that is, it's before us right now. This is our challenge, right? We're getting ready to hire somebody because of our goal to reach younger families for our church, to be, in essence, younger as a church. Friends, I've got no doubt that we'll see growth. I mean, to take the steps that we're taking, to do the things that we're doing, we will see growth. The question will be, can we sustain growth? Can we keep the growth? Because that's always the hard thing, right? And this church has experienced that before. Kind of having growth, but then not being able to sustain the growth. And a lot of churches, not just you all, it's a lot of churches. So can we get younger and tolerate some of the change and the pain that might come with that? Because I can tell you that change and pain always come together. Pain comes oftentimes to us as a result of changes that can occur. And so, church, what we have in front of us is an opportunity, I think, to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to watch that seed get planted in the lives of young people, to watch it grow, to watch it bear fruit. The list I'm about to give you is not a papal decree, because I'm not the Pope, so I can't make a papal decree, right? That's not what this is. I'm not mandating anything today. I'm not doing that either. These are my opinions, kind of based on my experiences, my education, the training that I've had. These are things I want you to begin to think about, because ultimately you are a part of the solution. You are. You matter. You're a vital part of our family, and your faithfulness and worship here, that's my greatest priority, because you're the ones that are here, right? You're the ones that are here this morning. So here's what I think it will take for us to become a younger church, so to speak. The very first item is, unfortunately, like a been there, done that for First United Methodist Church. That's a modern or contemporary worship service. Not to replace our traditional service, not to do that, but as an alternative to worship, another opportunity. This church, First UMC, had a contemporary worship service for many years. During its height, it met in the gym, right? When it was a really big service. I've asked many different people who attend here, who are part of our church, and I've even asked people who don't attend here anymore, who used to be a part of our church, how that service went from being a very large attendance service to shutting down. And I can tell you that with all the different people I've talked to in our church, outside of our church, the story's pretty consistent, which is positive to know. It's good to know. It's a consistent story. And what I can tell you is I think the good news is that trends have changed around contemporary worship. From back when this church started 20 years ago or whatever to today, things are different. Today, younger people enjoy hearing both modern songs and older hymns with modern instrumentation. I mean, that's the consistent thing, is the modern instrumentation. But today, the trend is both hymns and modern worship music together. Friends, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. People didn't want the hymns. They just wanted the modern worship songs, but that's changed today. So I joined a pastor's network outside of the Methodist Church. It's kind of a non-denominational, it's a lot of new churches. I was just kind of curious, like, what's going on out there outside of the Methodist Church for these groups where they're actually planting lots of new churches? There's church growth happening out there. For these kind of new upstarts, right? And so what you need to know, a trend is that new churches today that don't have any denominational ties, they're buying older, abandoned church buildings that might have belonged to the Lutheran Church or the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church. But these non-denominational churches, they're buying up these old buildings, and they're merging old church architecture and modern church architecture. They're merging the two together. They're keeping the pews, they're keeping the stained glass, and they're adding different kind of modern things. 20 years ago, that wasn't the case, was it? Which is why when this church started a modern worship service, they wanted to meet in the gym, because everything was pretty kind of flat then. Didn't want the religious symbols. Today, that's not the case with younger folks. Friends, it is possible that we could attract and keep younger families with only traditional worship. That might be possible. But having two different worship styles, two different worship times, increases the likelihood of families coming and having some different options, both in the type of service, but the time of the service. And so it's very important that you hear me say this next piece. You won't have to give up this traditional worship service that feeds your faith. I'm not saying that today. Definitely not. I'm talking about starting a new service. That new service may affect this service in different ways, right? It may affect who you see on Sunday, as some people here might want to participate in the other service. It may affect the number of people that we see in here. It may affect the time of the service, though I've talked to enough people to know that was a little bit of an issue the last time this happened, that the service time kind of kept changing, stuff like that. So if we have to do something like that, we want to keep it and be consistent with it, not juggle around with it. You know, folks, in back in the pre-COVID world, you know, the PC, pre-COVID, PC, we would technically, in church growth, we would want our worship service to be about 80% full before starting another service. You want to get some good movement going and then start another service. Friends, this is the post-COVID world now. And in the post-COVID world, most churches are smaller today than they were pre-COVID. And so we're going to find that we're in new territory, and we're going to have to take some risks that we maybe didn't have to take in the past, especially if we want to reach new people. So I believe we need to begin to have a conversation, right? A conversation soon about what it will look like for us to have some type of modern worship service in addition to our current traditional service. And I also believe our children's ministry needs better space. Our kids' ministry needs better space. Right now, our kids may be meeting in a Sunday school classroom just down the hall. You know, just a Sunday school classroom for adults. Sometimes they head to the gym. They might play in the gym for a while. What would be really helpful, is to have a space for our kids that is fun and vibrant, like they walk in and it's got wow factor. Wow, this is a great space. It's exciting for kids to step into. It would also help if that space was handicap accessible for both potential children that may want to come here, but also for volunteers who need to be able to get to that space, maybe also for parents who have a handicap that would like to see that space. Which makes being upstairs a little challenging, right? Because there's no accessibility other than stairs to get to those classrooms that were previously our kids' classrooms. I think we also need the space to be safe, and preferably with a single check-in point, so that someone can't threaten the safety of our children. Ideally, it's an area that with one door, we can lock down the entire space. And it's sad that this day and age, we have to think like that and we have to talk like that. But in this day and age, we have to think like that and we have to talk like that. Single point entry so that it can be locked down in order to protect our children. And so I would say that I think what we need is we need exciting, vibrant, handicap accessible, safe space for our children, and we currently don't have that for them, but we have the facilities here that we could probably make that happen for them. There's probably a way to begin to think about how to create that space so that families are excited about their children participating in our ministry program. Another thing that I think will help us get younger as a church is warm, sincere hospitality. Warm, sincere hospitality, which I would say is our greatest strength. We do this really well right now. We can build on that. We can become even better. It's about the warmth and the sincerity of our ushers, the work that our ushers do. It's about our greeters and the work that our greeters are doing. But it's more than that. It's more than just warm, sincere hospitality from our ushers and greeters. It's about warm, sincere hospitality from our congregation, from you all sitting in the pews this morning, right? I remember at a church I was at, and this happened to me twice, at two different churches I was at, we had a big bump in kids and families coming, and then we had a decline and lost a lot of those same families and kids that had come. So some learning opportunities there for me. At one of the particular churches, about 6 months down the road, right? All these young families are showing up. Things are feeling different. 6 months down the road, I had a longtime church member walk up to me and ask me right after service, "Pastor, when do these young families that are coming start to give and help like everybody else in this church?" Right? They've been here a while now, Pastor. When do they start kind of getting on board, doing like they're supposed to be doing? And friends, you better believe that her attitude with those families, with those people, was the same as her question to me. It was just a little rough. It was a little abrasive. It was a little bit, what are y'all doing here, right? It takes time. I'm telling you, especially today, more than any other time I've ever seen in 25 years of ministry, it takes time for new families, new people in church to develop a sense of ownership in the church. Like they belong to it and understand what that means. Especially if they don't have any experience with church stuff in the past. Or maybe very limited experience with church stuff in the past. And really that's kind of the folks we need to be reaching. Like we don't necessarily need to be stealing from other churches. We don't like that when it happens here. There's people in our families in our community this morning. They're not worshiping anywhere. And those are the type of families we'd like to attract here. But they're going to be kind of different. And you better believe that attitude makes a big difference. Attitude makes a big difference. Warm, sincere hospitality from longtime church members will help new families become longtime church members too. And once they become more involved, then you might have to expect them to do some things differently and maybe even innovate new things that are new to us, that aren't the way we've been doing things, which is always challenging for a more traditional church when people come and do that, because we've got a lot of good things going here. We do. There's a lot of good stuff happening here. And they're good, and a lot of the stuff we've been doing, it's been working pretty well for a while for us. So in a sense, the thought is like, why mess with that? Like, why mess with the good things we have in place? We have a way of doing church here. So they need to figure that out, right? Can sometimes be our attitude if we're not careful. And I'm not even asking you to change what you're doing. Like if you've got some stuff that you love within the church that's going well, do that. If it's helping you grow in your faithfulness, keep doing that. If it helps you love your church family, do that, right? Here's what I'm asking though. Here's what I'm asking. If you go up to Joe and Sarah Younger, I just made that last name up, right? Like Younger, Joe and Sarah Younger. And you ask them to join something we've been doing here. We've been doing it for a long time. It's kind of our Methodist way of maybe doing things. And they don't seem interested. They don't get on board. Perhaps help them figure out what's going to help them develop their faith lives here. What sounds exciting to you? What do you want to be a part of? Once again, like what did I say at the beginning? You remember what I said at the beginning? I said, I'm going to need you to either be a part of the change or encourage the change. That sounds great for you all. You all should do this. We support you in this. Or at least tolerate the change that may occur. Though here's what I can tell you. If all of us in this room just tolerate younger families that come into this space, it's going to be really hard for us to sustain family ministry in this church. Last thing that will help us get younger, stay younger, is for you to lead and mentor young people in how to follow Jesus Christ. We are United Methodists. Most of you here are United Methodists. So that's, you know, I'm sure that's going to be a part of it. We're going to talk about how to be Christian people, United Methodist people, but that's not the most important thing, the United Methodist thing. It's good. It's not the most important thing. You're also a church member, and you're a church member here at First United Methodist Church, and you know that being a Christian, right, that impacts the way you do things. But being a good Methodist church member isn't what's most important with people that come in here, young families that come in here. What's most important is that they come here and they learn from you and me how to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because they're going to have questions. I'm assuming that they're going to have some questions, and if you get close enough in proximity for them to ask questions, they're going to want to know things like, how do I pray? How do you pray? How does that happen? How do I read the Bible? It doesn't always make sense. Can you help me with that? How do I trust? This is bigger than you think. This one's bigger than you think. How do I trust God with my life? Because you seem to trust him with things, and I'm struggling with that. Can you teach me how to trust God? Why do I worship? why do I give money to the church? Why do you guys have this offering and you pass the plate and what happens with that money? Why would I go to Sunday school class? Why do I go to a small group, right? And then relationally, right, about life, like how do I be a loving husband or wife? And what is your Christian faith? How's that, what's that, how do I do that? Or how do I raise my kids to live out this faith thing? Like, how did you do that? Friends, believe it or not, we don't have a manual for all these questions. There's lots of great books out there. We don't have a manual because you're the manual. You're the manual. You're the resource because you did it or you're doing it, right? They may not do it exactly like you did it or like you're doing it, but you're a resource for how to live the Christian life. And they can know that you care about them and that you're praying for them and that you love them because now they're a part of your church family. And you're invested in them. We had a middle-aged woman. She visited our church a while back ago. I mean, she's probably late 30s, early 40s, something like that. She was active in a different church in town, but she was in this class. And this class required her to visit some other churches and to kind of check them out, see what they were all about. So we visited beforehand. She came to service. And then we visited afterwards, after her visit. She said to me this. She goes, you know what? She goes, in my church, everybody's younger than me. She goes to a church in town. She's middle-aged, and she's one of the older people within that church, right? And friends, I'll be really honest with you. This tends to be the challenge. The challenge is that younger churches tend to attract younger people. And sometimes they even attract them away from the older, more established churches. And this church has experienced that pain of watching younger churches come along and absorb some of the younger families. But here's what she said to me then. Then she said to me, she said, you know what? I'm really at a point in my Christian walk where I want an older Christian woman to help mentor me, and I want to grow in my faith in that way. That's really what I'm interested in right now. And she said, you know what? When I came to your service, you all look like you have a great pool of older mentor-type Christian people in your church. Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, we do. We do have a wonderful pool of Christian mentor-type people here. Right? Which is an asset. That's a strength. And it's a strength that's evident in the depth of kindness that is in our church and the depth of faithfulness that is present here in this church. Friends, you know it. We're not the young, up-and-coming church in Lebanon. That's not who we are. We are the longtime established church within Lebanon that has thousands and thousands of combined hours of experience. When you take all of our ages, put them all together, thousands of years of experience on how to faithfully serve Jesus Christ and how to faithfully serve the church and how that in turn helps us faithfully serve our community. And that's a strength. This whole church thing that we're doing, we got to be careful. It can sometimes make us a little bit short-sighted when it comes to the big goal. Right? The ultimate goal, the big goal, is to live by faith. Live by faith. Follow after Jesus. Serve others as Jesus did. He's our example and our benchmark. And First UMC has made a great impact in the lives of Christian people all over the city. All over the city, right? We have raised up, long before my time, we have raised up hundreds of believers who are still active here in this church and are active in other churches within this community and are active in churches throughout the world. And that's a win. And so we are gearing up now. This is the beginning. We are gearing up now to help a new generation of young families without a church home learn how to faithfully follow Jesus Christ. And I have shared with you what I think we're going to need to do in order to get younger, so to speak, in order to help those families be a part of who we are. And so now what's needed is prayer. Right now, what is needed is prayer. That's what I'm asking you to do. That God will do something great in this community through us. That there are people this morning who are not a part of a church community, that maybe are struggling in their Christian faith, that don't know how to trust God with everything and are anxious and scared and sad. And they need community. They need you. They need us. Jesus loved the little children, and so do we, and so will we. And we will teach them how to follow him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, this is no small task. It is a great challenge, but Father, we're up to the challenge. We are a faithful community that loves you. It is evident in the relationships within this church. It is evident in the way the folks of this church serve community, serve one another, serve church, live faithfully. And so, Father, we would pray that there are individuals out there this morning that would benefit from the type of love, the type of discipleship, the type of care that we can offer. So Lord, prepare us. Prepare our hearts. Show us the way. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.